Welcome to the Nicholas Natalie Show. Today on the podcast, Elliot Walker. Get a load of this. 398,000 followers, 7.6 million likes on TikTok. TikTok. Whatever, I'm old. He's got over 10,000 followers on Instagram, worked for DJI as a drone guru, collaborated with a lot of big names, and is now working as Gary Vee's go-to TikTok creator. Gotta be honest with you, I don't have one of those TikToks or TikTokers because I'm old and I don't want China to steal my information, but that's a different story. Head on over to NicholasNatalie.com, shop for sweatshirts, discount code THENNSHOW20 for 20% off. Hey, listen, leave a 5-star review and you could be featured on next week's episode, being the reviewer of the week. As again, this episode sponsored by Lil Webby LLC at LilWebby.com. Creates the best darn custom software, websites, and mobile applications. Fill out their contact form at LilWebby.com and say we sent you for a free 30-minute consultation.
Last but certainly not least, this episode is mixed and mastered by Mr. John Benny.
I'm excited for this episode. I'm the intern. You're the listener. This is Nick.
All right, I'm going to start recording.
Let's do it.
Whew. Now we're going. All right. I'm hitting them with an intro. Hello and welcome. This is the Nicholas Natalie Show, and I am your host, Nicholas Natalie. Today, we have the most special guest, Elliot Walker, who has amassed over 360,000 followers on TikTok with 6.9 million likes. But we're not going to start there. We're gonna take it back a bit. We're going to take it back a bit. First of all, Elliot, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. I just watched the weird SNL thing they did where it was all on Zoom. It was very hard to watch.
Oh. Was it a little cringy?
Extremely.
I really don't know how I feel about the celebrities taking to the internet via Zoom, collaborating in that way. It's kind of rough,
yes,
you know?
Yes, very much so. And they tried to make TikTok stuff, and it was just not working.
Yeah. I think the only person who's doing it right is John Krasinski. I mean,
his show is
some good news.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I love it. Some of the jokes, I will admit, are not funny in any capacity, but some of them,
correct.
It's just a fun watch, even if it's not the most funny thing in the world.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. And I think, like, he is rocking the low budget production, while I think the other celebrities are it just feels out of place, you know? Feels 100%. Out of place for them.
They're on their iPhone cameras and it just looks wrong.
Yeah, they need their makeup team there and they don't have it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, Elliot, we're gonna take it back. You grew up in Orlando, Florida, right? And
Correct.
Your dad is a music man. He made you beats and then you popped off in the MySpace world. And I'm really curious as to how your childhood was, because I've seen sprinkles of like you were flown out to Nashville to almost get signed for something as a child. Were you like an up and coming child star? What was going on?
Yeah, 100%. That's kind of what it started, as a 3-year-old doing MySpace things. And like my dad would make these beats for me. And then I was flown out to Nashville, I think once or twice, to like get signed. And then I had a whole video where I talked about that Cartoon Network show that ended up becoming like that Demi Lovato Sunny with a Chance show, like the original concept for it. And then now that lady I worked with on it is on, like, she's like a real housewife now. But yeah.
Oh, wow.
I kind of just made random songs and they got pretty popular. Like I remember my aunt, she was like in high school. And I went home one day to visit my family in Indiana. That's actually where I'm originally from. And
we're hanging
out in her room, and then her friend walks in and like recognizes me from MySpace. And like starts freaking out. It was like one of the craziest moments. But yeah, 100%.
Was it just like you and your dad having fun and it turned into this thing?
Yes.
Or was it something you guys both mutually kind of wanted?
It was kind of just fun. It was funny. Yeah.
Nice. So tell me more about the Nashville thing, because that's where I'm confused. Because they wanted to sign you for what? To be a singer, a rapper, an actor? What was it?
A rapper. That was like, I was really young. I remember being in the meeting, and I was like a 3-year-old and I was being really annoying, and I found this ball and I was like throwing it across the room while my parents were having a very important business discussion about me.
You didn't have your business your business mindset on quite
nope,
yet.
Nope.
That's funny. It's honestly, it's hard to almost grasp what's really going on in those types of meetings. At one time, I had not even close to a remotely similar scenario where I was 17, and this thing, I don't know, but like I feel like it had to be a scam. You know, it was one of those agencies that were like, we can get you on Disney Channel, we could do blah, blah, blah.
Everywhere.
And like I did a reading for them, I did a monologue for them, and then they were like, okay, sign right now, like on the spot. And I was like, that seems odd. Like, I don't feel like that's how business really works.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those schemes. A bunch of my friends did stuff like that where they were like, oh, you get on the Disney Channel, pay this, audition, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So when your dad got the call about this Cartoon Network show, was there some speculation that of like, was this a little sketch, or like, were you guys all on board that this was legit?
It was legit. It was someone my dad had known. And then we got flown out to Atlanta, Georgia, where Cartoon Network was based out of, I think, at the time. And then we met with them. I remember meeting all the kids that were going to be on the show with me, and that we all had to like sing in front of these people that were like pitching the show or that were starting up the show, whatever. And they were all my similar age, so it was really awkward and weird.
Yeah, that sounds... But that's a crazy learning lesson, though, you know? Or just like life experience. The fact that it even happened is enough to be like, man, that's wild.
100%.
It is crazy. So you and your dad are creating these things, and part of me thinks is that's where it kind of got instilled in you to create. That's where your creativity, like, truly began of, you know, content creation. But I am interested in, because I think you probably got, like, an iPhone earlier in your life. Do you think having technology earlier has stimulated creativity to, like, create even younger and even earlier?
100%. I remember when I was in fifth grade, I think the iPhone 4S came out. I was in fourth grade or something. That was the first iPhone that I got new. And that was my favorite thing. I was making stuff all the time. And I got Final Cut Pro from my mom's boss. So I was just editing stuff all the time and shooting it on my phone. But definitely, 100%.
Man, do you also, on the flip side, do you think having technology so young has enhanced or... like almost got in the way of building relationships?
I would definitely say 100% enhanced in every way.
Really? Okay, hit me.
I wouldn't be anywhere I am without the connections I've built on the internet. Nowhere. Yeah. That's how I've built everything that I've done. So without it, that I'd be kind of nowhere. I wouldn't have worked for Sarah. I wouldn't have worked for DJI. I wouldn't have got the Billboard Music Awards. I wouldn't have done anything that I've done without that. So 100%.
And you have an innate skill, it seems like, at meeting, like, people that are creating super cool stuff. Like, I've seen you with Ninja, I've seen you with Marquise Brownlee, like, almost anybody that is in the content industry, I feel like you have met them one way or another.
Weirdly, yes.
Either out of con-
The only one I haven't met that I watch, like, a lot is... Casey Neistat still, but I worked in his building. But I just never, I walked past his door all the time, but I've never met him one-on-one.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
How are you finding yourself meeting these people? Is it through the conferences you're going to, or are you reaching out? Do you have some
mix of both? Yeah. Working for Sarah was a big one. And then that Ninja one, I just went to the Samsung event for their Note 9 launch like a year ago. He was there. So I got to talk for a second. He was cool.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the time you got to work with Sarah. How did that start? What was it like? What'd you learn from her?
Yeah.
The whole experience.
That was actually my 11th grade high school. They had made me do an internship. So I was 11th or 10th grade. So I just was like, I want to work for Sarah. So I made her this box. I'd met her a few times before that. But I made her this box that I completely designed and made it super interactive with like pull things. I baked peach cookies. I like made it this super awesome interactive thing that showed about me. And I was like, I'll be here on this day. I can help you with this. Just say yes, make it happen. And then we lined it up and I went there for a month at first. And then I went back in August to work for her again. And then, yeah, kind of just snowballed.
That's crazy. It really is. Are you that way every time you're trying to reach out to a content creator? Do you get that creative typically? Or is it only when you really want it?
That's the only person that I've really like set out to work with or meet. The other ones have just been random encounters. Well, like I have not much planning. Like I've met Marquez like 3 times. And it's always been random. I run into him. And then like Ninja was really random. I didn't even know he was there. So it's kind of, some of my other ones were just luck.
Yeah, man. You must be at the right place at the right time then.
Yeah.
So since you've had the chance to meet with so many different people and work with, it seems like you're working with a lot of these people. You're with the CEO of Patreon, which I am also baffled by.
Yeah.
Did you get to collaborate with him?
A little bit. I've met him 3 times now. And I actually interviewed for a job to be his like personal video dude. I didn't end up getting it. But he's like my idol. He's my favorite, Jack Conti. I met him.
Yeah.
VidCon, VidSummit, and then I recorded a podcast with him and Sarah, and then I just went and saw him live at his band Pomplamoose in LA.
That's beyond me. So with all these people that you're getting to collaborate with, the cool, the hip, the creative, who has had the most influence on your work?
Dang. That's actually kind of a tough one. Let me think on that. I'll probably say Sarah Dici, probably, I would say, 100%. It's because she's like my friend, so I talk to her and she helps me. Like she helped me with that whole billboard thing I did. So I always think I'm more comfortable with her just because we've seen each other so many times, probably.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like your style has shifted as the years have progressed. Started about 4 years ago doing tech unboxing, tech reviews. Mm-hmm. And now you're finding a whole different style. You had the Next Gen series that I thought was cool, the vlogs. What's the journey been like to find your style? And would you even say you've completely grabbed it?
Nowhere near, no. I don't think I've near found it. I found MKBHD, Marquez's channel. So I was like, I'm going to do this tech stuff. That I found Casey, I was like, I'm gonna do this stuff. And then I finally was like, figure out what I wanted to do, which took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And then I started making that kind of stuff. And my latest YouTube video, that was like I would say the one that has felt most like mine, like no one else has stuff like it. Mm-hmm. Like my own original content was definitely my most recent, my Cartoon Network show one. Like with that intro and the whole thing, that was probably the most that I've really been able to put my name on. And I did like the Instagram drone stuff with like DJI and the videos for a while. I never really liked that too much. It was just kind of working. So I kept doing it.
It was working for sure. Yeah. You definitely got a crowd from it.
Yeah.
You didn't like it as much. What didn't you connect with about it?
I got sick of it really quickly. It was just all the same. And I just don't fit in with those kind of people. I have nothing against them, but like, I don't want to talk gear all the time. And I don't want to, it's just, there's a lot of people that would just talk about hyperlapses and all this stuff and all this mini stuff. I just wasn't into it too much. So I kind of grew out of it.
Yeah. I think that's also true of like almost any content creation. To me, a lot of the process I've seen, at least inside my own work, is been trial and error. And you don't really get to know what is and isn't really your style until you've done it for a little bit, until you can actually critique it in a way of like you can actually see more flaws in it and say, you know, this is why I don't like this style, or like I'm not being challenged as creatively in these areas. And I almost think each part of style that you do is still telling a story of where you're at in your life to a degree.
100%. Yeah.
So like in my own mind, like I've seen like myself go through like a comedy skit phase, a vlog phase, a talking head phase, and each one of those is just like a different representation of where I'm at. And I wonder, are you, so now that you're finding more of your style, what's your experience been just like honing these newfound like skills in this new style? Like what's bringing you fulfillment out of it?
Knowing that I'm going to be merging it into something I can pitch to a TV network, because I don't want to make internet stuff too much anymore, actually. I do want to make internet stuff. I just want it to be narrative, or not even just narrative, mm-hmm. but I want to be in front of a camera on a series that would air somewhere. So I'm actually working on this new big series for TikTok that's going to be launching this month that I'm going to work into, because I'm fairly hoping that it will do well. I think it will, because there's nothing like it on TikTok right now. And it's something different that I'm going to merge into, hopefully pitching something to Adult Swim by the end of the year.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. How are you going to get in the door of Adult Swim?
I actually already have two people I know that work there. So I'm going to be pulling those. Oh, wow. And hoping that what I'm making works for TikTok, because I think a big thing that I can offer is that I understand Gen Z and what they want and how they're watching content. And I can bring more interest into original ways of watching stuff, if that makes any sense. Yeah. But that's kind of my goal right now, is because I've kind of realized that I love TikTok. I like making YouTube videos. I know where I want to go with that now. It's just a matter of getting on it, especially with my new job that I started. But I totally lost my train of thought. I kind of went off crazy right there.
I love it, though, because that was one of my questions I had for you. Why choose digital content creation when you, like, specifically, you have the skills for more traditional, like, big network type of things? And it's like, that's interesting that you're already planning that route. Why do you see that you want to go to the traditional network?
Weirdly, like, I never watched YouTube probably till I was 15. And even then, mm-hmm. I've always gravitated towards normal. I hate saying normal, but I've always gravitated towards traditional ways of making content. I freaking love the internet, and I love everything that's made on the internet. It's like one of my favorite things. But I think for my skill set, where I think I really want to shine is making series, different series. Yeah. And not just like series for YouTube, like bigger production series, narrative or non.
So I've thought of both sides of the coin. I think there's advantages to both, and I haven't quite decided which one I prefer, because on one hand, the internet allows you to say anything you want, anytime you want, create anything you want, anytime you want. But the traditional route also brings a lot of advantage of, like, I don't even want to say long-term, but like a more long-term sustainable credibility.
I guess credibility in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a weird balance.
Yeah.
And where do you find yourself with that? Getting to create anything.
Yeah. Cause like I would love to have, I even think of it as a mix. Like I want to kind of be the first generation that is almost kind of both, or like creating mm-hmm. on what these networks are now, like on the internet, mm-hmm. like working mm-hmm. and making stuff for their platforms, whatever they do, because they have a lot of credibility and they have a lot of people behind what they do. That's kind of what interests me in it. And they have a great way. They have so many teams like that can help you scale and make things bigger. And I just feel like my long-term goals aren't full on the internet. It's definitely a big part, and it definitely has been a big part. But it's not the end game. Makes any sense.
What is your end game? What type of career do you want to, what type of career do you foresee yourself having?
I don't know. All I know is that, I'm working on an EP right now that I'm going to be launching on Apple Music and Spotify by the end of the month.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm working on all my comedy stuff for these new series that I'm doing. I'm like learning from like Judd Apatow, who's done like Step Brothers. I'm taking like his master class and like going to be working with some cool people on that. All I know, I don't really have a set thing I want to do. I kind of want to keep doing awesome stuff that I like, but all I know is that when I am done with it, I want to go buy an island. And I've looked it
up. That's first thing.
I can get an island for 30 grand. And it's pretty cool.
Where is the island?
There's an island in Fiji I was looking at. It looks pretty cool.
Nice.
And then it's so close to land that if something goes wrong, I can just boat on over to the hospital. So I'm all good.
Yeah, you're chilling. Yeah. Wow. You've thought it all out. That's hilarious. Yeah. An island is not a bad way to go.
Yeah. Only thing that scares me is the medical stuff.
That's a good thing to be a little bit afraid of. But at the same time, it could be more beneficial in the current climate. Island might be the move.
That's so true. It really is. I didn't even think about that.
So You might just be ahead of the medical the medical problem right now.
Hey, it's so true.
All right, here's another thing that I'm super duper curious about.
Let's hear it.
You landed. I don't know how much you can talk about it, so you know it's up to you.
Oh, I can.
You
talk landed about a job. All with, good now. Yeah.
Oh, thank God. VaynerMedia. You're working with the one, the only Gary V. But my question. I mean, I want to know what you're doing and stuff like that. But my question is, you are in a wonderful position already as it is. Why take a job with a media company?
Honestly, I've loved Gary's content. Like, my mom raised me on Gary Vee. I've been the biggest Gary Vee fan for as long as I have. My mom would always put up his quotes all over the house, and we'd watch him every day on the way to high school all throughout my time. I saw this creator resident position and I was like, hey, this looks freaking awesome. And I'm going to be in New York. And for me, I love doing my own stuff, but I need to have some sort of structure. That's why I got, for me, I got way more done when I was in high school, worked doing this on the side. I was trying to find something that I'm passionate about and that I like, that I can have to focus on while also focusing my own stuff. So it just adds more structure into like the times and makes you more productive.
Yeah.
And it made the most sense.
Yeah. Wow. That's super fascinating. So what were you seeing a decrease in productivity-wise when your schedule is a little more flex?
Yeah, 100%.
Got it. I can foresee that because even in my own life, I think... I guess it's different in a lot of ways because I think my current job gets in the way of some of the side hustle because it takes away from it. But in your case, I think the agency is going to be huge in your learning on how to just like, you're just going to learn more skills.
Yeah,
and I think it's only going to make your content better.
Thank you. Yeah. That's kind of why I'm psyched about it, is because I'm going to be learning so much. Like, I'm going to be working with Gary because I'm mainly doing a lot of his TikTok stuff.
Oh, no.
I think I'm going to pick up tons of stuff from him and from everybody there. I think it's just going to be helpful.
Yeah. And the longevity of those skills is going to way outlast like everything. You're going to use those for the rest of your life,
You learn.
So tell me your relationship with TikTok, because you have had the organic growth is fantastic. You know,
it's been insane. It kind of started as I downloaded TikTok and I was swiping through. I was mainly watching it and trying to figure out how I fit into it, taking notes on what I think was working and how to create for it, something that I could bring to it. And I've made lists of videos that I want to make. Each video that I've posted, I have a few that I sprinkle in here and there that are kind of just basic, you know, casual videos. But the ones that I really plan and that I've thought of ideas for, all at least, I think, 600,000 views and up.
Dang.
Yeah. So I think I've figured out how to make content that will perform well on there. Like my first TikTok for Gary went up yesterday. It's his highest performing one in a month. Yeah. So I was really happy.
Look at that.
I was proud.
Heck yeah. And you can't beat that.
Yeah. It's been awesome.
That is cool. And I have to know. So you crashed a wedding for one of your bigger TikToks and that was not planned, right? You did not plan on doing that.
Here's
before
the thing.
You literally walked up to it.
I put in my bio, CEO of Over the Top Skits, because every single one of my videos is written and staged.
Really?
Every single one of them.
No way. Yeah. That's dope. So did you really get married? I need to know.
I did not. I did not get married.
Okay.
That was a full service we planned to put together, though. But I just try to do the craziest thing because I want to be in full creative control. So I still write and I even like storyboard sometimes and I really make everything how I want it. Some people still think it's real, even though I've really tried to get on top of it and say, hey, I'm just making funny, crazy, over-the-top videos, which I understand. I mean, it's cool if they think it's real. I don't really care. But it's fun. I love it.
Because, when I first saw it, and I was like, no way he's going to do that to his taxes. Changes everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's so complicated to undo all of that.
But, 100%. 100%.
That's funny. Yeah, I think another thing that you're touching on is how, I mean, thank goodness TikTok has this organic growth, but at the same time, you're putting like intentional work into these TikToks And that is also why they're doing so well. You know what I mean? It's not like
it's a weird
you have
mix.
An idea.
Yeah. Like you don't want to make it look like you're putting in tons of effort, but at the same time, you want it to be really popping and really crazy and really attention grabbing. So I'm kind of balancing between that line.
And people now are craving real. So finding that piece of realness in the whole over-the-top skit that you're creating is so valuable.
Thank you.
You know, that's what people are grabbing onto.
And I'm hoping my new series, I'm so psyched for. It's like I'm turning what I'm doing now into a series called Crashing, I think. I'm working with an artist to make a thing for it, and I'm kind of going to go around and do similar stuff to what I was doing. And then my new series, I'm psyched for. I can talk about it if you want. But
please do. I would love that. Hit me more. I
need
more details.
I don't want anyone to steal it, but I'll share a little bit. Okay. It's essentially a late night talk show on TikTok, but I film it with my desk in the middle of the street in different roads.
Oh, nice.
And I have different guests. Super fun. And I do really crazy interviews, and it's going to be, I'm really psyched for it.
Heck yeah. That already sounds fun. If you get the right people involved, that's already super fun.
Yeah.
Here's another big question that I'm interested in hearing. So you gained like 50,000 followers in one day. That was nuts. But then another thing that I'm curious about is you have this new audience, right? And what's your message to your new audience with everything that you're putting out, with everything that who you are that you're putting out? What's your message to them? You know,
what do you mean? What do you mean message?
Because I think the term influencer, you know, is so saturated now, but I really do believe that what we put out is influencing people to a degree. So like with your skits and everything that you're creating and all of these other creative projects you're having, I think there's an underlying tone with everything that says something almost about who you are or who you want or what you want people to think. I mean, each project's different, but like, I guess the question is like, what do you stand for, you know, when it all comes down to it?
I'm actually kind of curious. What would you say I stand for? What would you think based on what you've seen? Turn it back around.
Yeah, that's a good flip of the switch.
Absolutely.
From what I've seen, I think that your content is caring about creativity and intentionality in everything that you create. So I think another thing is scalability and not being limited. I think those are other things that your underlying message to people is, because each TikTok that you do, each piece of creation that you do, it's always growing to a degree and it's always pushing the creativity from the last one. So that's what I would say. But I don't know, you know, I think that's got to be
I would say
your own
that
choice.
That sounds
too.
Very correct. Because if I'm being honest with you on that question, I have no idea. I really don't know. It's kind of just me being me, or maybe I'm subconsciously doing something, but that sounds very insightful and correct, if I'm being honest.
Well, that's something to think about. And maybe that's just me too, because I think about those things a lot. Like, and I think maybe too much. I think sometimes it may hinder some of my content that I create, but I think the influence portion of all of this is very, very crucial, just because I've seen dumb people make it big and people do dumb things because dumb people make it big, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, and I think smart people have made it big, and those people that want to care for their audience and say, you know, breathe whatever message it is into them, I think they do it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I feel it.
Just going off the dome a little bit. Mm-hmm. Going off the dome.
Going off the dome. I love it, sir.
So tell me more about this gig with Gary Vee. You're taking over his TikTok. What's going down? Give me the lowdown.
I just started technically 2 days ago. Well, I've had two days of actually working. I haven't even met my whole team or anything yet. I kind of just made four TikToks so far that are going to be pushed out at different times. And I'm hoping they do well. I have this upcoming two-part series with Gary and this guy named Mario I'm really excited about that he met at a garage sale. It's really exciting.
That sounds about right.
I'm excited for it. Yeah.
You also love New York City. Are you going to have to fly to New York?
I'm going to have to move there whenever all this is over.
What?
Yeah, right away.
You're going to leave California?
Yeah, I am for now.
You can do that? You think you can pack up and go? Are you going to miss it?
Definitely. But I will say, I'm super ADHD, and New York cures that for me. So I get 20 times more done, and I'm way more focused just because of the mentality and the atmosphere there.
How have you seen it? I've never been. I've heard people say that New York is even faster and more fierce than LA. How do those two compare?
No, LA's freaking turtle compared to the cheetah.
No.
Bruh. It's a freaking cheetah, man. It is so fast. I can't even... Everything's go, 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 and everyone's have something to do. Everything's always happening. It's so hard to explain. But it's impossible not to make everything happen there, I would say.
Yeah. My experience with LA is like everything moves slowly fast. Like,
yes.
Like everybody's doing something, but there's still like so much time in between before it actually happens.
Yes. 100%.
And I got a cousin that lives in New York right now, and he was saying that, like, you know, you ask a girl out to dinner or something because, you know, trying to go on a date, and they can't go out to the dinner until like 8 or 9 p.m. because they're working overtime till 7:38. And it's like the whole city is just nonstop. And so tell me about the the creator community there, because I imagine that is also significantly different too, the cultures.
100%. Everyone there. It's like 20 times bigger than San Diego, I'll tell you that. But
dang.
Way more than 20 times. Oh my gosh. It is so everyone. You can meet a new person every day. Like I had some of my followers, I was hanging out with different people every day, going to B&H, doing all this random stuff. Literally the best.
Yeah.
It's the dream.
That's super dope.
If you want the closest, the closest like day in the life of being there, go watch my my Brett Conti vlog on YouTube. I tried to capture its energy in that.
Okay, I feel like I may have seen it. I watched a lot of them. I've seen a lot of your content. And like I was saying, I think it's really cool to see like your skills just form like crazy.
Thank you.
But I also want to ask, you did some freelance work while you were in high school, right?
Oh yeah. I graduated last year, about almost.
Yeah.
But all my stuff pretty much was in high school, except for the TikTok stuff that all started after.
How was it getting freelance work while you were in high school? Because I think a lot of young people are afraid to do that.
Yeah. I even went and did my DJI and billboard stuff during high school. You just got to go to events, make it happen. Luckily, I went to a project-based school, so I just made videos for every single one of my classes anyway. And your teachers,
that's a good way around
it. Yeah. And my teachers were literally my friends. You call them by their first name. Like it's like a whole, like me and my teachers would drop the F bomb. Like they're like your friends. And like my math teacher towards the end, he was like, oh, you don't need to be doing this math stuff. You make awesome videos. So he just had me like do some video production stuff, on the side while people were taking their math finals. I remember looking in. And I was sitting outside and I look in the window to the classroom
editing.
And I'm editing and they're doing a freaking final on math. And I'm like, I got an A+ in the class for making videos.
Wow. That's the way to do it.
Really is. Really is.
I mean, it's pushing you exactly where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So you can't, there's no fault in that.
Yeah.
Were you ever timid when it came to the freelance work, or have you always been? I'm gonna dive right in.
I don't know. I would say I was kind of more dive right in. I kind of always wanted to be doing something. So it helped out. I wasn't really doing I only did like 4 freelance projects, and they were all for just like, I did a couple things for DJI. I only did it with like companies that I was liking.
Liked.
I never did like the weddings or the stuff, party stuff like that. I just never did. I totally could have, but I crashed them instead.
There you go. That's right. That's funny. I didn't know you were making an EP. That's super cool. I didn't know music was still in your life. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Tell me more about this EP and the concept and who you've worked with and the goodies.
My dad, essentially, because he still does all of that all the time. And then I was kind of doing some of the piano stuff, but it's like an indie stuff mainly. I'm dropping, I think, 3 songs pretty soon on Apple Music, Spotify. I have 2 that I have finished and then 1 that we're starting on. So I'm excited.
Dang. Yeah. That's like a whole nother part of your brand.
Yeah. I'm also, 100%. And I'm mainly going to be, I'm doing this mainly for TikTok, pushing out I think that's how I could really grow it, is via TikTok. So I'm trying to make songs that I think would work for that.
That's really smart, because, I mean, we've seen artists blow up just because their stuff is getting used in
like TikTok's on repeat. Like all the top 20 songs on Spotify are from, on the charts, are all from TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's really smart. That's a good way to go about it. I'm excited to listen to it. Who would you say is a creator that you... Who's the creator you want to work with most that you haven't yet?
Dang. Actually, I have a list. I'm going to pull up my list real quick for you.
Yeah, please do.
Some of these are like comedians and like just people that make really funny stuff. And some of them are genuine people. Let me find my list here. Okay. I got it. So number one, obviously, Casey. It's a classic.
It's true. It's got to happen.
Got to happen.
Yeah.
Sam Sheffer, who I'm kind of friends with.
It's good.
And I mean, I'm kind of friends with him. He got mad at me because I invited like 20 six-year-old boys into his Discord server.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny. He follows me on TikTok now. We're fine. And we talked about
Lost.
Yeah,
you guys are cool. Nice.
Joe Pera is one of my faves. Joe Pera is he has an Adult Swim show, and I really want to, my YouTube channel is essentially going to turn into kind of what he does. I'm making a series that I'm going to transition my YouTube series, YouTube stuff into, because I've kind of realized that the stuff I'm making on YouTube just doesn't fit with me anymore. The Cartoon Network thing did, but none of the, none of my other previous videos. Joe Pera, Casey Neistat. I forget. I said one other one. Eric Andre, 100% Eric Andre.
Really? You would want to work with Eric Andre?
Oh, more than anything.
I'm intimidated by his work. I don't know if I'd be able to hang.
I feel that. I feel that.
I'd be scared to go on a set with him.
Oh, dude, I'm 1 degree away from Eric Andre. I'm almost
what?
I'm almost there.
You're right in there.
I have one more person. Well, I'm friends with one of his friends, so I got to make it happen.
Nice.
We got to be like, hey.
And, hey, Eric, let me on your show. let me get rocked on your show. You do have an incredible ability to network and build community. I think I've seen that. I think that's a super valuable skill that I think it just happens innately. I kind of think that's your personality, that you have the ability to build communities. So when you're 1 degree away from somebody else, what's your take on networking? Because I think you're being like, you're just being yourself and you're making friends, and then these friends turn into people you work with and collab with.
Literally what it's been. Yeah, 100%. When I go to the marketing events and the Vid Summit, I would count, I guess, as a marketing event, like some of those marketing parties, stuff like that. Or not marketing events, networking events. What am I saying? Marketing. You know what I mean? I just try to be myself and be funny and make fun of things and be over the top and be like, not be like anyone else there. And that's worked out for me.
Be memorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's super true. Cannot tell you how many times I've met people that I don't remember.
Yeah, oh, you know? I actually met these people at a networking event. I don't remember meeting them. And then they moved into my apartment complex.
Oh,
and
no.
And then they run into me and they're like, hey, man, how's it going? And I'm like, oh, hi. Acting like I know who they are. And then they're like, yeah, we met at this. And I'm like, oh, I don't remember going to it, but I guess I did.
Yeah.
And I guess
that's because you were memorable.
Oh, my gosh. And then they tried to, actually the other day, they tried to invite me to a party.
Oh, you're going to crash it?
No, I was like, dude, that's illegal.
A COVID party.
Yeah, the security guard like arrested them. I heard it.
No.
Yeah.
Or, like, knocking on their door.
He called the police. They were like banging on the door because they had a bunch of people over during quarantine.
You can't be doing that.
I know, right? Oh my gosh.
These dummies. Stupid idiots.
I hope they watch this and get to this point so they hear us. They follow me on
Instagram. I'll tell them right now.
Stupid idiots.
You guys are stupid idiots. You guys are spreading corona left and right.
I know, right? Flatten the curve.
That's funny. Yeah, come on. We're all trying to flatten the curve here. Jeez. So what would you say which piece of work are you most proud of? You've found your style on YouTube with the last video. You're proud of it. TikTok has had lots of success. But which one means the most to you?
That's a good I would probably say my Cartoon Network show video seems most like on YouTube. It seems more like me. But I would also say my, you see my Debbie video where I made banana bread with her at her house?
Yes.
That's one of my biggest favorite ones too. That one, again, fully staged. That wasn't real.
Popped off.
Yeah.
So funny. That was, yeah. How do you know Debbie?
My mom worked with her. That's what I want to know. And we had to go to my mom's old office. And I went and we went to their office kitchen and filmed that whole sequence in their office. And everyone was watching us. Man. It was really awkward. Like as she was feeding me
Debbie's
the banana.
Such a good sport.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Perfect casting too. You're also casting people in perfect roles. Debbie could not have been a more sweet woman to be in that video.
I
know.
Yeah.
Like she had the look, the warmth.
Yep. Oh, I 100% agree. I can make a mean banana bread.
Are you writing those lines? Or are they, that, or are they flowing organically?
I think I wrote that one line. A lot of it has been improv off the top. And then I kind of just make an outline. Some of the ones that have been scripted, like my most recent one where I dropped my mom's phone off the apartment building. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yeah. Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, that one was written. And then, I just got a fake phone on Amazon for that. And that worked out so well. It looked so real.
Oh, that was perfect. Yeah. Yeah, that was really clutch.
Thank you.
Have you had any interest of training, doing formal training for in front of the camera stuff since you're going to more traditional?
Well, what do you mean?
Types of things. Like, you know what I'm actually surprised about? Like, I had a stand-up comedian on here. His name's Ahmed. But he was telling me that he was taking stand-up comedy classes and, like, there's specific types of classes you can take for certain comedy. And I imagine there's probably hosting classes now and now there's tons of improv classes.
Hey, I should check that out. I've been taking Judd Apatow's comedy, writing for comedy and doing comedy class to help me with my theory stuff and just make things better, in my opinion. And it's already been helping. I've only seen like 30 minutes of it so far. I actually started yesterday, but I'm going to keep going.
Oh, nice.
Keep going on it on my off hours.
What have you learned about comedy thus far? Because writing comedy is... That's a beast.
Yeah.
At least in the industry, it's a beast.
It's been interesting. I've mainly, just because I'm not too familiar with it yet, I mean, I'd like to think I'm a like you can talk to Gabe. I'd like to think I'm a funny person in real life, but it's hard to translate that to
60 seconds, 30 seconds.
100%. Yeah. So a lot of it's been me coming up with general ideas of stuff that would be funny and then filming it and then adding everything, improving everything and letting people come up with their own things just so it's a more natural feeling because that's how it works on TikTok. So making things seem natural while also trying to make the story how it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good strategy because I've created videos where I've had funny people say every line that I wrote. And they don't say it how I thought they were going to say it. They don't say it quite right. Like, it's not as funny because they don't get the punchline. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this is, like, tough to watch. But then I've done what you said. Like, I create a general idea and I say, this is what we're going to do. I want you guys to do whatever you want during this. And funny people do funny stuff 10 out of 10 times, you know? And I'm loving it because it's unexpected. It's surprising. And I'm laughing because people are going to do funny stuff. And that's why I think, like, when I watch somebody like Jimmy Fallon in like his series of EU way back when or whenever he was doing it. I think that's funny because I think he's funny and he's having fun. You know,
100%.
Maybe those lines are super scripted, but part of me thinks he's probably has some freedom in there to do what he wants.
Yeah. Oh, that was what makes it amazing. Do you know, Larry David, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm, his show?
I do. Yeah.
You know, I just learned that show was improv.
Yeah,
that it's like freaked me out. That's so crazy.
Why did it freak you out?
I don't know. It's just it's so hilarious. Like I thought all this stuff had to be planned and written out, but it was so cool to hear that that's improv. They have a general idea and they just go crazy on it. It's amazing.
I will say it takes a special type of cast though.
Oh, 100%.
You know? Like improv has got to be like 95% chemistry, you know, like the right person brings out the right flavor.
Debbie was perfect for that.
Yeah, exactly. But then you take a look at like The Office, and I think they have improv scenes in there too. But I think like a lot of it was written to the T, and actors just knew their role so perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it can work, you know? I don't think it can't, but I think it like it takes something real special if you can get somebody to go word by word.
Yeah,
you know?
100%, 100%.
So that's interesting. How are you going to go about finding your guests for your new on the street late night show?
So my first episode is going to be a joke. So I'm going to say my guest is Charlie D'Amelio, and I'm going to have my friend be really stupid.
Nice.
And pretend to be Charlie D'Amelio just to hook people in the intro. And then I'm going to say, tag the people you want to see as guests in the future. And then I have an old vintage Macintosh Plus that I'm going to make. Yeah. I'm going to put their faces on for most of the interviews. And the good thing right now is that all the streets are empty, so I can go film on the streets. And, and my VHS setup's working now. I think I can sell the whole thing right now. It's going to be great.
It's a perfect time to do it, really. Are you in downtown San Diego? I can't imagine. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's going to look great.
I'm excited.
That's going to be perfect.
I'm just going to go right down Park Boulevard, put the desk right in there. I got all my my desk stuff. But I'm already started on the first episode. I'm psyched about it. The artist just sent me the title sequence, which is really cool.
Nice.
I'm getting psyched. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I think so too.
Thank you.
Are you going to do all of your own editing, right?
100%. I would never. Yeah. I can never trust anyone else with that. Even if I had my own TV show, I would have to edit it. I would not.
No, you're lying.
I would not let anyone. Depending on what it is, I would still want to edit all of it. It's like one of my favorite parts about doing it.
Oh, man. Never, ever? Is that a trust thing or is it just because you like it so much?
I think
or
I can
you
sell,
want to be perfect.
I make the best me if I'm editing. I can make it really be what it's meant to be when I'm in control of. I don't care anymore if I'm filming it anymore. I like having a certain look. I can go in and do that. I like to film it if I can, but editing is where I don't relinquish anything.
Yeah, that's smart. I think I'm having a new relationship with editing because I think I'm very similar to you as in like, I think I can only make it my way to a certain degree and have it look exactly how I want it. But sometimes I'm curious how other people would edit it, you know? Does that make sense?
I understand.
I think the story changes based on who is editing it.
I agree with that. The only thing is that when I make my stuff, I listen to like a song probably, and I literally get exactly how I want it to be in my head.
Yep.
So I want to go make it exactly how I can sell it. Like I know if anyone else edited my TikToks, I don't think they would have worked. Like I did.
Yeah,
I had someone edit one of them. And it just did not. And then I went back and it got like 30,000 views, which is horrible to say that's bad. I feel like an idiot for saying that's bad. But then I went and did it a million.
Mm-hmm.
So I
clocking a million because it's you, you know?
Yeah. I feel like it's easier to tell if I'm not in front of the camera, then I could understand letting someone else edit it. But if it's me there and I'm really trying to sell an idea or sell what I'm doing, I gotta be the person doing it.
I've had similar envisions when I like writing if I were to ever write a short film or a feature film, I think so much of it, but it's tough because here's another thing I'm curious about with you. I should finish my thought first. I think I enjoy each part of it. I enjoy the audio. I enjoy the editing. I enjoy the filming. And I enjoy being the piece of the film. All of those are really fun to me, and I enjoy that stuff.
Same.
Switching, transitioning. I'm curious about you because you are so creative, but you have a drive that I can't put my finger on, and I want to know why. I want to know where your drive is to create. I can't put my finger on it, you know?
Why I don't know if I can either. I don't like not doing it. It's just my favorite thing to do. It's what makes me feel like I'm doing something awesome. I don't know. It's just I love doing it to death. So I keep doing it over and over.
Doing it kind of like till I can't do it no more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. I'll give it to you. I'll take that. Just because, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, like when you think about it, like a somebody's in high school that wants to do freelance work because they want to create things, I guess the logical answer is because you really enjoy it. But you have goals and ambitions that are for the long term. So I think there's this other part of you that is super ambitious.
Oh, 100%. You know? And yeah, that's...
Yeah, but it's still probably rooted because you love to do it.
Combo, 100%.
Wow. Combo, baby.
Combo, baby.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to ask you a few more questions, and then we're going to wrap this up.
Let's do it. I've noticed, by the way, I keep saying, mm-hmm, or I'll do a weird laugh, like, yeah. This is just an observation.
I listened to a previous podcast I did, and I said, I'm curious about 35 times, so don't feel bad at all.
Cool.
Listening to these podcasts back, I've realized I have a ton of sayings that I say. Another one is, you know what? I'll say that before every sentence.
You know what? I'm curious, actually.
You know what? I'm curious about this. Yeah. Ugh. Or I'll give a big, a huge, just one big fat
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Favorite project that you collaborated on? The final product that came out, not the process.
Dang. Let me think on that. I mean, technically, if you count the Debbie video, as a collaboration with Debbie, I got to think about ones that I've actually collaborated with people, like on the process. Probably actually my unreleased web series pilot that I filmed. That was aired at my creator night. You were at my creator night, right? My first one?
I was not. I was at a class.
Oh yeah, I think you were.
Unfortunately.
I aired that there, and that was a collaboration with my friend Jackson, who helped me shoot it. And that one I really liked. It's not anywhere, but I liked that one.
Yeah. I'll take that. That's good. All right, Elliot. I'm gonna hit you with the final question of the pod. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
If you were talking to a young creator who's never created anything before, but they like they want to start, where would you tell them this is the best first step you can do?
I've realized there's so many thousands of people, especially high school aged, I knew them all the time. They said they wanted to do things, but they were never really serious about it, and they never would actually do it. They would give millions of reasons why they shouldn't. Literally everyone was like,
right.
They'd go by, like, I had this one guy I was friends with for a while that he didn't shoot any pictures or video, but he went and bought an A7 III the day it came out. And I have not seen him use it once. So,
yikes.
Yeah. You need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons and you actually are committed to doing it, because most people are not. And you have to, if you're not that, you need to find a way to turn yourself into that, or try to find a way to build you into someone that will actually make stuff happen. Find what makes you the most happy. Find what makes you to get the most pumped to make something. I would say something that you want to do really bad, that you know you'll actually do it, because most people will not do it. 99% of people don't do what they say they're going to do.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
That is for sure. Elliot, you've been fantastic. I've loved having you on the
show.
Thank
you for having me. I'm so freaking sorry about yesterday that I couldn't get on. I feel like a jerk.
That's okay. We're here now, you know? It's happening. We're celebrating Easter together.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
A fun Easter Sunday with the boys.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Gang, gang.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where can we find you on the internet, Elliot?
At Infinite Elliot everywhere. Double E. Infinite double E Elliot. There's two E's there. And Elliot is spelled.
And there's two T's.
And there's two L's and two T's. And two E's in that username.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. There's two of everything in there.
Sweet. I'm going to throw that in the show notes under the show, right on under it. All things Elliot. Follow him. I was going to say text him.
Shoot me a text.
Slide his DMs. Yeah, all that stuff.
I did that AirPods giveaway. My DMs are destroyed now from TikTok people.
Ooh. That's a great problem to have.
It is a good problem to have. I've been doing some of my followers. This is totally off topic. I did some of my followers' Snapchat streaks.
Oh,
which I would say
that's really fun.
It really
that's
was.
So fun.
I go on and I talk to all their friends, and then I'm like,
"That's so
me.
Good." That's yeah,
it's kind of fun.
I love that.
Yeah,
huh? I might have to let you take over for a day or something.
I would be
do something with it.
Yeah, let's do it.
we'll do something fun, I'm sure.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. See you later. Peace. Bye. 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 Bye.
Thanks for listening to the episode. Be sure to tune in next week with Megan Allen. She's a highly motivated health advocate, personal trainer, Instagram influencer with 48,000 followers, Boutine LA ambassador, and she's also launching her own workout gear brand. Heads up, Nicholas and Natalia show is uploaded every Friday morning at 6 a.m. for all you hard chargers, early go-getters, and those of you that want to sleep in, you can listen to it later. See you next week. Shazam!